Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's Amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, welcome to the Video Games Now podcast. This episode, we're going to talk about loot boxes, DLC, and console exclusives. And of course, I'm joined by the nitty and gritty Jack of All Trades Gamer. I just screwed up your title here. Will.
Oi, guys.
And the guy who's built like a brick shit house, the mean and lean, Mark, a.k.a. Pex.
Hey, how's it going, everyone?
All right, so, yeah, like I said, DLC, we'll probably start by talking about some bad DLC, and then we're going to talk about some good DLC, and then we'll, you know, discuss that kind of stuff. So let us know in the comments and on our social media what you guys think and your thoughts on the podcast, please, and we're going to get started right now. All right, so Will, you want to take it away with the DLC stuff?
So let's talk about. Actually, let's start it off with bad DLC. It's always better to do the bad before the good. Now I'm going to bring up one of my most hated DLCs. I'm betting you guys haven't played it. Maybe Mark has. Elder Scrolls Oblivion. They literally had. I don't even remember how much it was. I just know it was a ridiculous amount. And all it was bloody horse armor. Horse armor for your mount. And I'm pretty sure it was $15.
And there is no perks? There is nothing?
There is no perks. It was literally just to make your horse look like he was wearing armor.
Yeah, that sounds pretty bad. You already had the horse. You already had everything. You just wanted the armor, eh?
Yeah, it was one of the worst purchases I've made. And I still regret it to this day. Because what would I have bought with that $15? I could have even put that towards another game.
Yeah, there's a lot of those cosmetic-looking DLC things that, like... in the last podcast we did that came out on Sunday, you're talking about the skin for that gun that was $60,000. It's like... I'd rather spend money on, like, you know, anything else but a skin, so...
I'm a fan of DLC that actually, like... gives you some more content or adds like time or hours to the game. It's pointless to me. It's like, why spend even more money when it just all it does is change like the one little look? Like for me, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, if there's any, you know, if it was like a super rare item, it's like, oh, it's gonna boost your stats like crazy good. Then I'm all for spending money for that.
Yeah, right.
And yeah, so go ahead, Will.
Yeah, literally. I think cosmetic items nowadays, if it's only cosmetic, it shouldn't be that expensive. DLC should be split between cosmetic and actual game enhancing.
That's actually a really good point. But you can also like bring up Fortnite. Like I don't know about you, Rodney or Will, but like I don't really care. Like I get that random girl. I'm totally fine with that. It's like I hate that games that like nickel and dime you for every... And like... Fortnite's prime example. It's really super fun, but like I don't care about my guy wearing a flag or like any of the other stuff that you can get.
I feel like I'm working for ABC again where I have to get approved to get a stapler, you know? All right, so what about games that do it right, I guess? Let's just touch on that for a moment. What is there any game that sticks out in your mind that does DLC right?
I guess there is tons of games that do DLC, right? But if we're talking right now, are we talking adding to the game or a whole nother like part to the game? What do you guys?
Well, I guess one example of a game that kind of did it right was I really liked the first Halo 2 map expansion pack. Yeah, added content, added a bunch of stuff, new weapons, vehicles. Yeah, that was probably one of the ones that did it right. Another one is Assassin's Creed, the newest one, Origins. Don't have any problems with that. Content is awesome.
Yeah, if you build a good foundation to your game, like Origins was enormous. Like there was multiple hours of gameplay there. It makes my purchasing the DLC worth my time and effort, I guess.
Yeah, I think as you said, Assassin's Creed Origins, but we can't forget about all the other Assassin's Creed. All of them had DLC that expanded that game's universe. So I'm going to say pretty much Ubisoft does it right. What do you guys, like, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree. Ubisoft, I mean, most of the Ubisoft games I play that have DLC are good. And I, you know, if they're like, hey, yeah, buy, you know, a couple extra missions or a couple extra things, I'm like, sure, yeah, why not? You know, whereas a game like, oh, well, we rag on Destiny a lot, but Destiny just is not a good DLC type. Like, the first game made me so mad because I had to buy the game for $60 or $70 or whatever it was, and then you had to buy all the expansions, which were also like $60, $70. It's like, what? Why?
Yeah, I don't really want to revisit Destiny. I'm even a little upset with number two, and I won't bring that up right now. Maybe we'll bring it up if I get over my love-hate relationship. Mark, have you...
No, I was never a big fan of Destiny. Not enough story there to keep me engaged. I like first-person shooters. That one, for some reason, never really grabbed me, pulled me in, any of that. Wasn't the biggest fan. One of the ones that actually I wanted to touch on that I didn't really like was Battlefront 2. Like, amazing game. Too short, not enough in it. And, I mean, we'll touch on that a little later with the loot boxes and stuff like that. But, again, for the DLC parts of it, it wasn't enough there for me.
Well, the one thing there is that DLC that they did release, if you're talking about the story mode. Yes, okay, I see that nod. It was free DLC. So literally all they were doing was just adding to the content they've already provided. We didn't have to pay a thing for it.
Yeah, and even like multiplayer expansions, I'm kind of not really into. Like, I haven't downloaded a lot of DLC in my whole video game career, but because I just don't see the value in most of it. You know, like, sure, you get a couple of extra maps on Halo, or sure, you get a couple of, you know, equipment items. Like, you know, it just doesn't seem worth it to me most of the time.
You never downloaded any of the multiplayer maps for Halo?
No, I was fine with the ones that came out with the game, honestly. Like, they were fun, and yeah, like, Halo Reach had, like, the best multiplayer maps out of any of them, and then I think they came out with a few more. I can't quite remember. That was at the end of the 360's life span anyway, so. But the DLC I have downloaded was, like, Zelda, obviously, it was really good, the DLC for that, because there was just this empty feeling I had at the end of the game that was like, I want more Zelda Breath of the Wild, and then they're like, here, take it. And I'm like, oh, this is what I want.
So how were those two expansions? I don't have a Switch or didn't get to touch on the Breath of the Wild. How were they?
The first DLC that came out introduced I can't remember what it was called, but it was the Master Sword trial thing. So you go back to where you got the Master Sword, put the Master Sword in the pedestal, and then you do these trials. So there's three different like levels. So the first ones, you have to defeat, I think it was like 13 people or something in a row, or 13 floors. Like, it's very similar to, you played Wind Waker, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so where you go in and you do the floors, right? You have to beat one floor, and then you get to the next floor, and you have to go. It's similar to that, but you start with no gear, no weapons, no nothing. So it's hard, and then there's different like difficulties. So the first one's super easy, the middle one's like ridiculous, and the last one's really, really hard. But each one that you finish, your Master Sword gains some more power.
See, to me, that's good. That's not enough, though. That's just like a little maybe hour dungeon that you kind of do. And does that take you back to Hyrule, by the way?
Breath of the Wild?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's it's Hyrule, and it's there was a great war calamity or whatever 100 years ago, and Link got injured, and then he got put in this like chronogenic like freezer thing, I guess, and he went to sleep for 100 years and healed, and then he came back, and then he has no memory of what's going on.
I don't know about a chronogenic sleep, but I think you're talking cryogenic.
Yeah, you know, I didn't pass English class, so you know. But the DLC on top of that for the first one, they also had a ton of, because I mean masks and outfits and stuff were huge in Breath of the Wild. They released so many cosmetic kind of throwbacks to the old series, so you could find like Majora's mask and Midna's helmet and Tingle's full outfit, and so it was for people who like all the cosmetic costume stuff. That was a really good thing for them. And then the second one, it was like a story expansion. So it added a couple more shrines. It added more story backstory for the four champions. And then at the very end of it, spoiler alert if you're listening and you haven't done it yet, you find out that they're like, oh, hey, Link, there's a divine beast for you to pilot too. And I'm like, what? And I'm super stoked. I'm like, this is freaking... Because I'm thinking like I'm going to get like a badass like dragon thing or something. And then I get a little motorcycle. I'm like... All right, like it is what it is, but now I don't have to rely on my horse not hearing my call, right? So, yeah, it was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed the story expansion. What about you, Will?
Yeah, I had a lot of fun with Zelda. I tried replaying it. I just didn't have the time. It takes a lot of commitment to go back and play a game that big and immersive. I didn't fully get into the newest DLC. So I haven't gotten the motorcycle yet. I do want to go back and visit that. So hopefully after the next little shift of work that I've got going right now, I might go back and get some replay value out of Zelda.
You got to go back and finish Assassin's Creed first.
Assassin's Creed, Shadow of Mordor.
Shadow of War.
Shadow of War.
If you haven't finished Shadow of Mordor, then... But yeah, we got a lot of games on the go. I haven't finished Tiny Metal yet, and I really want to finish that. You haven't even started that game.
I'm 2 hours in.
Oh, okay. Well, you started. Yeah. That's good. Yeah.
Made a character.
Yeah. Yeah. He has his name selected.
One other franchise that did DLC pretty good was the Grand Theft Auto series. That was really good. Red Dead Redemption. They went back, they added guns, missions, new cars, a little more than cosmetic, adds more hours to the gameplay. I thought they did a great job.
Well, with Grand Theft Auto 5, like that game sold a ridiculous amount of copies on launch, and the funny thing is the multiplayer wasn't even ready yet. Like it was just the single player, and it was this huge world. I liked how you can play three different characters. The personalities for all three of them were really good. Trevor is just hilarious. My favorite scene from Trevor is like the first two missions you do with him, where you find him in the trailer. Oh, that's just too funny. And then at the end, it just gives you an actual choice as to how the game's supposed to end. So like that game gave you so much different choices. Huge sandbox area. It was a fantastic game. And then the online came and just like exploded, and it was fantastic.
Have you played much of, I guess you haven't because you're Xbox, but the online for Grand Theft Auto is amazing. All the stuff they're adding, the bank heists, like, I thought that was really cool too, is like, in single player, you had, like, I think three or four main heists. They incorporated that into the online, and that's really fun.
You said probably not because he's Xbox, but you do realize like the online was also available for like multi-platform, right?
Yeah, no, my bad. It's a cross-platform now.
Yeah,
so it came out. It was exclusive, wasn't it?
No, man. You the stripes you earned in the last podcast, we're stripping those away now. So, but yeah, the online, I played a little bit of it when it first launched, and I personally didn't enjoy it, but I didn't really invest enough time into it to take everything that I had to offer.
Well, I'm not going to mention names because I'm sure he doesn't want me to. We're probably going to have him on an upcoming podcast, so then we'll introduce him. But we do have a work colleague that has heavily played Grand Theft Auto Online and has spent probably, in his words, at least $3,000 actual our money on cars.
Is that muscles?
Muscles is not playing that, and do you really see him spending that much money?
He spent $500 on bottle service, like, after he got paid. That was like half his check, just bottle service.
That seems more like his thing, but that not on a game. Now, the one I'm talking about is one of our LX homies. Oh, yeah.
Okay,
we're going to have him up on an upcoming one, so we can talk about that, because I remember him telling me last year that he just started selling some of his cars so he could make some money.
So, like, doesn't he have a family? Like,
that's probably why he had to sell the cars.
The wife's cracking the whip.
He told me he had a 4-story like a building that was just full of vehicles.
Listen, this is in the game, right? Real life, yeah, I just rented a complex. I can't control my car purchasing problem.
He's making too much money.
Yeah. So he's selling the cars. What, you know what he's selling them for?
Well, I thought it was because he needed money, maybe because he's got a wife and a kid and dog. But no, he said he needed to buy another car and it was more expensive.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, priorities, right? 3,000.
Yeah.
3,000. Well, we have a sense of what 3,000 is, but some kid that just stole his mom's credit card, like we were talking about last time, is like, yeah, I'll just buy $10,000 in loot boxes, just total rando. Rando RGBS. I got a new grip. Sweet. Nice. Good stuff.
So. Hey, Mark, if you see any unnatural purchases on your credit card, don't think anything of it. It's not like I use your card.
Yeah. Anyways, moving on. Why don't we move on to loot boxes here? So you guys have played a lot of Battlefield 2. Battlefront 2, because I haven't, because I don't want to. how was the loot box situation in that game? And I guess we'll just start with you, Mark.
The loot boxing, I was not a fan of that system. What was crappy about it was you needed that to level up your guys. So they give you a bunch of collections. You can get Vader. You have your three main assault classes, but to get them any good, you had to buy. You had to play. You had to get the points, and you had to open up these loot boxes and hope that you got your card that you wanted. So I really wasn't a fan. I mean, you also could just buy the card, but it took so long, and you had to play so many games. So fun game, but that really needed to get looked at.
Now, if we're talking about the loot boxes in Battlefront, Mark and I have spent tons of hours on that. We've kind of like grown out of it right now. And
I thought you were going to say you spent tons of money on that. I was going to be like, really?
No, but I was going to touch up that on that as well. Mark never got the chance, but I played the beta for Battlefront 2, and it was ridiculous. Like, they had to change quite a few things, and the outrage that the fans and the gamers gave against DICE and EA pretty much caused what the loot box controversy is now. But basically what happened is, during the beta, the prices of Darth Vader, Luke Skywalker, and whatnot are almost double of what we are paying now. So then the loot boxes, so people were thinking, oh, well, we're going to have to spend so much money, or we're going to have to play this game for hours on end to unlock our favorite characters. Now, what happened is all that controversy forced DICE to literally take out purchasing those loot boxes with actual cash.
Well, yeah, they should, because that's like the main part of it is getting these cards that you need to level up your characters. So that's crap. You should not have to pay for these loot and then just hope that you get it. Like, I'm glad they at least took that out and kept it free, because like it's not working now.
Yeah, I'm kind of done with these pay-to-win kind of games, too. So, the only game I've ever spent actual money on was Clash of Clans, and I know that's not a real game, let's be honest. It's a mobile game. But, I mean, I've literally played that game every day for, like, 5 years, but because you need to invest so much time in it to actually do anything.
Side note, I have a buddy, I'm not going to name any names, but I have a buddy who maxed out his credit card on Clash of Clans. It was, like, $5,000. It was pretty bad, but he had the sickest base, the sickest setup. No one could mess with him, but, yeah, after $5,000.
I've been playing the game for 5 years, and I'm just now incorporating strategy into anything. Like, I was just like, oh, yeah, I'll just throw, like, you know, all balloons. I'm just going to go all balloons and attack a base with all balloons. But, yeah, but I've only spent, like, maybe $20 in 5 years. Like, that's really good compared to everybody else. But, yeah.
You're too cheap.
Well, yeah, because, you know, I have all this, like, stuff so we can record the podcast. That costs money, too. So, yeah.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about loot boxes, and we touched up on this on a previous podcast. A $60,000 skin was recently sold from Counter-Strike. Literally, just a skin, you know, nothing too special. Now, if we're talking loot boxes, do you guys think instead of being able to sell your random rewards for spending actual money... Now, do you think you should be able to sell your items, or should they be banned to your account? What are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, if they're, like, a super rare item, then yeah, because, I mean, that's... there's two big problems with loot boxes, and one of them is it's RNG, like, completely RNG, and you're spending money blindly, like, you're at a casino. I'd rather go to a casino, because your chances of getting anything are more than what you get out of loot boxes, it seems. But, yeah, the bound to your account just kind of eliminates that whole... kind of hostile takeover, I guess. You're like, hey little boy, yeah, I have a nice shiny, you know, legendary rifle here, you know, for $10,000, and then boom, done, right? So,
but see, the problem that we're having now with loot boxes, and you touched up on this on the video since we couldn't record due to a snowstorm that kind of hit us out of nowhere, is a lot of I think there's a couple countries now, and I know there's some states in the states that are trying to ban loot boxes, and they're being considered as gambling. Now, talking as getting the items bound to your account or reselling them. Now, is that not the point? Is that not where the problem of their classifying it as gambling is? You spend, say, $5 on that crate, you get something that you can sell now for, say, $5,000.
Yeah, that's, I mean, if you got an item that good, that's, like, you got some good luck, you need to quit buying loot boxes and go and play in blackjack or something. But, yeah, that's, I think that should be moderated for sure, because that's not why we play video games. We don't, you know, if you're playing video games to make money, you're a pro, you know, playing competitively, or you're a streamer, or whatever, right?
Well, like you said, too, that just having it bound to your account just completely eliminates that.
Yeah, I think there's going to have to be some drastic changes to loot boxes. I don't think ESRB and everyone else is taking it as serious as it is, because anyone has access to loot boxes, especially if they have access to their parents' credit cards. Now, we've talked about this before as well, and you just mentioned, is a child spending $10,000. Now... what happens in the long run of kids later on having access to that money, right? But their parents gave it to them willingly. Say, oh, you know what? Here's $20. You can buy a couple crates or whatever it is. And they find something that's super rare that they can sell. But they're, you know, they're underage. Like, where do we draw the line? Like, are we trying to teach kids and younger children the aspects of gambling? Like, what's going on?
Is that why it's considered gambling? Is for the fact that you could find something? Because I honestly don't have a big... I don't really care. Like, it's fine. Like, I don't have a problem with loot boxes. If you want to spend your money, or if you're... not smart enough to tell your child, no, you can't spend that kind of money, then that's your own thing. But is that where the problem is coming in now? Is because kids are getting this and then trying to flip items? Or,
well, I think the problem comes into many different situations. It's not that I don't know too many stories of kids trying to flip the items, but it's literally that the kids have access to that. Now, RNG in before now was literally, you know, you'd go, say, to a casino and you'd play a round of the slots. You know, it's random what you get. You can kind of make your odds better if you know to stop it in time. But in a loot box, you buy what you buy literally whatever that code decides to give you at that instant that you open it.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I don't really see where the gambling comes in. I mean, paying money to get some crap.
Yeah, but
you know what you're getting, right?
Well, but they kind of don't. Like, they're kids, right? Like, they don't understand the consequences of spending $10,000 because they're kids, right? Like if I go to the casino and I'm like, okay, I'm only going to spend $20. When I lose my $20, I walk out. Or you know, a non-addict sensible person would do that. But these kids are just like, yeah, I just want more and more stuff. And it's not their money, right? So it's like, you know, if your parents give you $500, you're just going to be like, oh, right?
Oh, no, I get that. And that's probably the worst part of it is, like, parents need to have, like, I guess, more watchful eye and stuff like that. But I just don't understand why it's considered gambling.
I don't know how else to explain it. I mean, the slot machines are kind of the perfect metaphor, I guess. I mean, just replace loot boxes with slot machines. It's the same thing, except there's one less step. You don't have to pull the lever or push the full, you know, max bet button. You just push okay, spend $5, and then it's like, hey, here's your three grips that you already have and your whatever, right?
Now, like as Rodney said, we're a little older, we're more mature, we probably had money problems, we know how to manage it. Now, if we go in and we have our set thing, we're only going to, like he says, I'm going in, I've got $20. After I lose that $20, I'm done. Now, a kid doesn't know that. I know, like, I didn't know that when I was a kid, and I'm going to tell it truthfully. If I was in this generation growing up and my mom gave me, say, $40 for my birthday, and I used from her credit card, right, but she added it to my account and I bought those crates, I'm literally doing what we're talking about as an adult going to a casino.
Okay, well, let me put it to you this way. What parent is going to give their young kid a credit card or a credit card number or anything like that? Like, you're going to be okay. Like,
it'd be prepaid, obviously.
Exactly.
But, you know, what happened to the time where kids just took money and went and bought candy from a store? Like, why are we buying loot boxes? Like, come on. I bought, like, Popeye candy sticks and pretended I was smoking and the 25-cent candies. Man, that was my jam when I was a kid.
Those cigarettes. Yeah, I know. It's a gum you're talking about. That was good stuff.
Yeah, like, I don't really remember spending my money as a kid. If I got rewarded for doing chores or something, it went to the candies, you know, Warheads, Popeyes. I don't remember what they're called, but maybe you guys can help me out. But those sour little lollipop things, they're like the push rings.
Yeah, those were really good.
Or is those the ring pop things?
Well, they're the ring pops, yes, but do you remember those ones you used to be able to throw a little, sweetness on and
dips?
Push it up? Yes.
Those are so good.
Oh, yeah.
Good.
Yeah. I remember those.
There we go.
Getting back to the loot boxes, though, at the end of the day, I don't know why people, like, especially if it's not enhancing your game, if it's not, like, making you deal more damage or giving you ability points. I just don't really see the, oh my God, I have a new hat to wear. Oh my God. Or do you see that necklace? Like, it's so cool. Like, I just, at the end of the day, I don't really see why people, like, spend so much money on like little things that really don't make you any better in the game.
All right, Mark, I'm probably going to throw us both under the bus here since talked about it with Rodney here and our viewers. We're big right now on you and I on Elder Scrolls Online. Now, here we go. I'm throwing us under the bus. We both literally bought houses. Those cost us almost $50.
Those are vital. You can do a lot of stuff with them. You can put crafting tables and anything. Like, it's not just like, oh, I have a new robe to wear.
And, well, like, I knew this was going to happen into a debate. You're just not going to justify what we spent. So, yes, we have both spent $50 on a house. We have bought
This is real world money.
Real right? world money. Like, okay. You had to buy in-game crowns, so we have to spend our money. So probably $50 on, and we both bought our own houses. Like, you know what? We can't live together, right?
Man, in what world is a house $50?
Virtual. But then as well, as loot, they have loot boxes. I'm pretty sure I spent about $140 on their flame crates right now, and I'm pretty sure Mark did as well, because he screwed up once, and instead of buying one package of 29, he ended up buying 1,200 crowns.
I'm going to fix that. I ended up buying more. I bought more crowns. I didn't buy any of those. I didn't buy 50 loot boxes.
Yeah, you did.
No, I didn't. I bought the crowns for the loot boxes.
There you go.
But I didn't. I bought too many crowns. I didn't buy the loot. I bought the loot boxes. Yes, I bought some loot boxes.
I just.
But I have not spent nowhere near as much money as you.
you see, I like how you started that whole thing as, oh, I'm going to fix this. Yeah, but.
But we can all agree that ESO is. Elder Scrolls Online has their DLC. Like, the loot boxes are garbage, but the DLC they have out, the houses, everything you can actually purchase. Because I, like I said, I don't have a problem spending money for things that are gonna like be useful in the game.
Now, going on to that, and we can go back to loot boxes in a second, but I want to touch up on another thing. Is there is in DLC world, there is loot boxes, and then there is microtransactions. Now, what we literally spent our money on, that would be considered a microtransaction. We knew what we were buying. Loot boxes, you don't. You're literally opening a random chest. You'd never know what you're going to get. I think microtransactions are a little safer because, yes, some games will gouge you for those items. Oblivion, anyone? Horse armor? But... other than that, if you know what you're buying, you're not really going to get as bad of a choice that you could if you buy loot boxes. I remember I spent, like he said, throwing me back under the bus. I spent more money than him. And in 15 crates I bought, I literally got nothing but garbage. And it was a waste of money.
Well, you know, the worst part is when you're... when you get a loot box and then you get something, like, I'm going to use Shadow War as an example. Like, I didn't spend any money on Shadow War. It was just, like, the free chest or whatever you get. And it's like, oh, you got a legendary orc. And then you're just super stoked off that. And then you take him into battle and he, like, dies right away. So, like, if I spent money on a loot crate and got, like, super rare stuff and then they just, like, it just, they die right away, I'd be like, really? Like, it's almost worse than, you know.
Now, I'm going to bring up this as well, because Shadow of War did have loot boxes that you could buy with in-game money that would give you different orcs. I didn't spend money on that, but like you, I used the free one that you got, and my story is a little worse. Like, he didn't just die in battle, he pretty much killed himself. Like, who, like, creates these things? Like, he says it was a Caragor rider, but he was... fatally vulnerable to Caragors. Like, seriously. Like, I brought him into battle, and then I was like, I wonder if this is gonna work. And you know what? He called in Caragors, but they literally, like, after that, he died. Like, what happened? Seriously.
That's another thing, is the free stuff you get in chests like that, it's all garbage. It's all, like, doesn't work. You have to spend money to get the good guy to bring into battle.
Yeah, that's the marketing ploy, yeah. Yeah. Well, Shadow War was a good game, and I need to finish that. Will and I both were, like, on Act 3. We're like, I think something else came out. We just stopped playing it.
Well, didn't Assassin's Creed come up for both of us? Yeah. For all of us, I think?
I didn't start playing Assassin's Creed until, like, December of last year.
Yeah, I don't remember what it was. I think it was, the last couple weeks of work. I remember I had my game pre-ordered. He just decided to go home and download it while we're working and then get a head start on me. So, like, he got into it a little faster. And, you know, it's not a hard game. Once you get the mechanics under control, it's fun and easy to jump right into.
It's Shadow War?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I've earned the place that I'm in, so I can benefit by playing video games and getting paid for it. So,
So I never played Shadow of War. How was it? Was it good, or was it? Did it get a little repetitive?
Not really. It's I'm trying to think of a game that you can kind of relate to. Will, do you have one that's maybe on the PS line?
Oh, I'm trying to think. Shadow of War is kind of like a partially open world. Well, like not a sandbox, but a partially open world, full on like RPG.
Yeah, but your decisions kind of matter, right? Like, cause you like I'm a Lord of the Rings fan, but I'm not like hardcore, so I don't like know the names of the elves and all that. Anyways, so yeah, like your main town gets attacked, and then they're like, oh, it falls to the orcs and stuff. So you basically want to try to take over as much of Mordor as possible. So you're going and you're like trying to dominate orcs and make them join your army, and then you're just gonna take over the whole. So you're like leading an army kind of thing. It was really cool.
Because as fun as it was, like that kind of like seems, or like the way you guys were talking about it, it makes it seem similar to like the original Assassin's Creed, where like I kind of felt like even this last one that came out, it was kind of repetitive. Like there wasn't, like the story was half decent, but it never really got like went deeper. Like it was just, oh, you got to assassinate all these guys, and oh wait, there's even more to do, and I got to assassinate the next tier of guys.
Literally, Mark, I think you nailed it. We were trying to think of a game that we could kind of bring Shadow of War to, and I don't know how Assassin's Creed like skipped our mind since I played like every single one. But yes, it does play like that, but Shadow of War offers more of a strategic type thing because you train your orcs and you kind of have to watch out. We talked about this when we had our guest host Cole on here. But there's like blood brothers, so you have to be careful who you take into fight combat with you. There's also invulnerabilities that can really make battles hard and stuff like that. So where Assassin's Creed is more jump in, stab them, slash them, shoot them, whatever. Shadow of War is a different thing. You have to be strategic with what you want to do.
That sounds pretty good. Like it does sound like that offers more than, and you would, yeah, that sounds pretty good.
Yeah, and yeah, the important thing too is if you're going into a battle, like if you're gonna fight someone whose level's like above yours, like you really gotta do your homework. Like you find a worm and you dominate them, and then you can find out the weaknesses and strengths of different orc captains and stuff. And yeah, so you're like, hey, I need to find out who this guy is, and. Yeah, so then it's like, oh, he's weak to, you know, you shoot down a wasp nest or whatever it is, and he's weak to that, or he gets in a frenzy or whatever. The worst guys to fight were Vigilant against Stealth, plus Vault Breaker, so you could do like absolutely no stealth damage to them at all. Like they would just be like, oh, sorry, yeah, you know, you're on the ground, you're in the fight now. And the other one was Vault Breaker, where you can jump over them and like kind of startle them for a second, and then you can start attacking them from behind. But if you have Vault Breaker, they're like, nope. So not Vigilant, or they're Vigilant against Stealth, Vault Breaker, and then I can't remember, like Enraged by Fire, and all I had was fire weapons at the time. So
another one that really made me go angry a couple times, I don't know about you, and because it can happen like just by accident, is when they flee.
Yeah, fleeing sucks. But and then you got to run through the entire town chasing them, and they're just like not in any inclination you're gonna fight back. Yeah, it's.
So we should probably get back on the topic a little bit. Loot boxes, microtransactions. We kind of have to figure out where this generation is trying to take gaming and DLC content. What are your guys' thoughts? Like, what are we gonna do next? Like. Now we're getting into the thing where we have the Oculus Rift. We had the PS4, for the PS4 is the, wow, I'm going a little brain dead here, but their VR system, right? The PSVR, there we go.
I feel like the DLC for like the VR stuff is going to be like, hey, if you pay us $7, you get a thumb.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, man.
How would like DLC for like, VR work,
exactly.
I killed Will. Anyway, yeah, I mean, it's gonna be the same sort of thing where I'm getting the thumbs up from both dudes here. Yeah, same sort of thing where it's like, yeah, level expansions, I mean, what's you can't really do cosmetics. Like, you can maybe get a wristwatch. That's cool, right? But yeah, I don't really know how the VR stuff's gonna work. But I think that you can really tell who's out to get the money and who's out to make you like a ridiculously good game. Assassin's Creed Origins, like, so much work was put into that game, and everybody really cared about all the detail they put in. Like, every blade of grass was, like, hand-drawn. It was just AA+. And then, yeah, games like Battlefront and Destiny, there's just, like, money grabs almost, you know?
Has to be said, gorgeous-looking game, Assassin's Creed. Also, what I liked about that is that you could do the picture of the day thing there. So you'd, like, you know, you'd be on like one of the pyramids sliding down, and then you can snap a screenshot, and if it was a good one, then they'd post it on the world map for other people and other players to see, which I thought was a cool aspect.
Now, what I really liked, and it was different for Assassin's Creed, is they did their research, and a lot of historians even said, like, Ubisoft nailed it. Like, they didn't just go half-ass and create an Egyptian world for Assassin's Creed. They recreated Egypt for Assassin's Creed. I don't know. I haven't had a chance to try it out, and I really want to. It seems like a different mode, but they've added a tour mode to Assassin's Creed. Literally, that teaches you like the history of Egypt.
Oh, great, because the plane ticket to go to Egypt is really expensive, so that would help out immensely. So,
says the guy that makes more money than any of us.
Yeah, well, I have to buy all this expensive sound equipment, like I said. So,
actually, there's one game I wanted to give a shout out to that DLC is dropping in April or May, I believe. Was South Park Fractured Butthole? Neither of you guys probably played it. I don't know how big of South Park fans you guys are. Have to say, huge fan of the game. Just like watching one whole episode. And you know, they actually released two pieces of DLC for it, which I thought were great. The game it's got everything. Strategy, the fighting system, awesome. And the next DLC is about to drop in May, so that's something to look forward to.
Oh, there's just so much funny content in that whole spiel. Like, you said whole, like, and you said it. Will, you say what you just said again, Will?
You weren't literally thinking you fractured butthole, but then you're like, in the whole game, in the whole this, whole that, and you almost lost me.
Yeah, just pun central over here. I like South Park, but like, I'm not like diehard watch every episode of South Park, but
see, you can't, and that's the beauty of South Park, is you kind of had to be, because a lot of the jokes from the game were pulled right from the show, and they did an amazing job, and if you're a fan of South Park, you'd be a fan of the game.
Yeah, I will pick it up. I really enjoyed South Park Stick of Truth. I lost it when they announced that they were, I don't know what happened to it. I think it was still released, but in limited editions for a Fractured Butthole. They were releasing, I don't even remember what they're called, but literally it was like nose plugs that when something happened in the game, it was like synced, that would literally give you the smell of Cartman's fart.
It wasn't Cartman's fart, it was your main character's, because he had a power and he'd use other South Park companions, and one was like Stan, his superhero's tool shed. So he takes an air compressor, sticks it up the main character's butt, and then they use his farts to power the air compressor. But Butters, they all had special fart moves. And if that was a thing, like, that'd be pretty gross. I don't want to smell farts every 2 seconds. I'm trying to do a special ability.
So VR wasn't enough. Now it's got to be like 4D, like, getting right into it.
To be able to smell the farts for the game to be worth it.
Oh. Yeah, see, those kind of games don't really interest me, because I'm not really into that myself. But I mean, I heard the game was good, so
it was amazing.
Going back though to Assassin's Creed, another game like we've given a shout out to multiple times. I think the DLC's been delayed, but I'm looking forward to it. The first one I still haven't gotten hands on. I'm hoping to after this next little piece of work that we've started doing. Yeah, he's shaking his head like, no, you're not going to have a life again this year. Good friends I have, don't I? They just work me to death.
No, just me.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what happens when your best friend's your boss, eh? So they have...
You're not going to touch on... Assassin's Creed because you'll be too busy playing Elder Scrolls.
Oh, wow. It seems like he's making up his mind for me. I think they have another DLC coming out. We've talked about it before. Is they're going to they've already started battling the Egyptian gods in some of the free DLC.
There was Winged Dragon of Ra in there, though, so I was quite disappointed with that.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's true. I was, too. Like, that would have just made the game. Same with Obelisk and Slifer. Yeah. Can you imagine Slifer coming down on top of you? Like, oof.
And then I reveal my trap card.
Well, that is Egypt, man. You just get me with, like, oh, man, you're going to ruin it for me again. But they have another DLC coming out where you start facing big scorpions and other Egyptian monsters. And I think you're battling... reborn Egyptian princes.
Well, there was a couple areas in Assassin's Creed Origins that were like there were areas that didn't really do much. Like the area specifically I'm talking about is in the very south region of the map. It's in one of the deserts,
White Sands.
It's like the last region south, and I went there. And I'm like, oh, what's going on here? And there was a couple of those projection things, like when you first go into the bottom of Khafu's pyramid or whatever, there's that projection thing, and it's like someone talking about the future, and you're like, what? Yeah, there's more of those. There's like two or three of those over at this location, but there's nothing else really that was worth any time, so I'm wondering if that's going to get tied in later with some DLC.
Yeah, I'm not too sure. I wouldn't be surprised. I think for the latest DLC, though, they created another territory, if I could be mistaken, but I'm not sure. I do know, though, what I liked about those projection things, as you're talking in the future, is they re-mentioned Desmond. I don't know if you guys remember Desmond. He was the main character of the Assassin's Creed story before they decide to just kill him off, which
I'll never... Is that what happened?
Yeah.
When did they do that? Was after 3, right?
At the end of 3, they killed him off. They made him make a sacrifice to save the world or, like, doom it, so...
I did play 3. I don't remember that. Maybe I didn't finish 3.
Yeah, because don't you remember in Black Flag, he's dead, because if you hack all the computers in the office, you'll find them researching his genetics, and there's a picture of his burnt body.
Actually, you know what? In Origins there too, you're assassin, you're back and you're playing as that girl. If you actually go onto the computer and look up like the files, they had a lot of files on Desmond too. And I think I did see that picture of his burnt body there.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's hint, some clues to the future of the Assassin's Creed story. Maybe they're going to reanimate him. Like, who knows? I wouldn't be opposed to it, I guess, because he was like one of my actually having a secondary character. I did not like, I can't remember her name, but the girl you play as in Assassin's Creed Origins, I just didn't like her story at all, and like it made no sense.
I feel like EA would take, if EA took over Assassin's Creed, that would be a thing. It'd be like Assassin's Creed Zombies and it's Desmond reanimated. Like, I just, you know what, I'm not a big EA fan.
I'm sorry to cut you off, Rodney. EA would ruin Assassin's Creed. They're good for sports. That's about it.
Yeah. They've been getting a lot of bad rep in the last few years, too. Like, they released games that weren't finished, and now they're releasing, like, loot crate-heavy games, and, you know, yeah.
Well, even when it comes to Battlefront, too, it just felt, for me, it was just rushed out. And it's like, oh, okay, let's just pump the latest piece of crap down everybody's throat that's, you know, sort of fun, and then let's gouge them with loot boxes.
Now, I can't say we can completely call out EA for not really doing too much, because they have developed some great games. Now, you're forgetting DICE is a huge company. Yes, they didn't maybe do Battlefront as well as they should have, but you are, yeah, Wait, hold on. No, yeah, Battlefront. But if we're going back, they made a masterpiece of Battlefield. Every Battlefield I have played, I have thoroughly enjoyed. Like, and that is an EA title. That is a DICE title. We can't just thrash EA.
Well, everybody has their best franchises, and yeah, Battlefield's probably EA's best franchise.
I was never really a Battlefield fan. I was more on the other side of COD. Yeah.
Obviously, the best Battlefield game was, I think, Battlefield 1. Did you get a chance to play it well? Because you were working. I mean, I got time off, and I just played it for like a month straight, and then you were working pretty hard, so you could play with me.
I haven't picked it up yet. I'm hoping to maybe get around to it, but like you said, I just keep getting a backlog. I don't know if it's ever going to like disappear. I still have games in plastic. Like, that's just how bad it is.
All right, so running out of time here. So last thing to say about loot boxes, Mark. We'll start with you.
Yeah. Don't mind them. I mean, I wish they kind of gave you more than just cosmetics. And I kind of wish even like the cosmetics ones you do want. I wish that they would come up more than they do. I guess was my only thing about loot boxes. What about you, Will?
Something has to change. I do understand there is problems here, but there is good and there is bad in loot boxes. We just have to see what we can do with it.
All right, everybody. Thanks a lot for listening to the VGN podcast. Let us know your thoughts on our Facebook page, our Twitter page, and anything else you're into these days. Also, check us out on Patreon, where your donations will give you some early access to stuff. And once we launch the store very soon, you'll get a discount at the store based upon your donation level. And we'd love to hear from you guys how the show's doing. We do polls every week, we do questions every week, so yeah, get on the social media pages, let us know what's going on. But until then, we are gonna what do you think our next topic is gonna be about, Will? What are you thinking?
I think we're gonna talk about some fighting games. Not personally one of the biggest things, but I think we can have some fun.
Yeah, and then after that, maybe we'll Mark can, you know, really flex his muscles and talk about some sports games with us.
Yeah, going back into the EA franchise, but we'll talk about some Madden, maybe some little NHL and some NBA.
And then later this month, we're going to throw some Sea of Thieves right in your face.
Arr. All right, guys, thanks a lot. See you all in the next one.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.